And thank you for that last song. It's one of those lines in that song, it means a lot to Jeannie and me. When I see the cross, it demands my all. And that's so true, isn't it? That's what we're here for. Well, it's great to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much for the invitation. Great privilege and blessing for Jeannie to come back to one of our special churches here in the UK. When I came back to the Lord in 1980, we're going down memory lane just now, this is the church I came to, which is great. And Jeannie came to the Lord in this church, so all those many years ago. So you're very, very close to our hearts, and it's very special. Thank you also for your love and prayers to Jeannie and me. You've really helped us keep going. Without your love and support, we wouldn't have made it. And your prayers, obviously, wouldn't have made it. So thank you for that. Please keep them coming, if you will. Thank you for your messages also for my dear mum, who passed when she was promoted to glory not so long ago. It was a joyful yet sorrowful yet rejoicing, because on one sense I wanted to be here to give her a last hug and kiss, and but on the other hand, the last 3 weeks Jeannie and I used to do Zoom calls with her twice a week. She was struggling, and it was painful to see such a legend struggling for breath. And so it's lovely to think that she's in glory now, in that house that will last forever, praise God, and with Jesus and with our loved ones there as well. So thank you for that. Well, we just, as Martin said, we've just come from Malibu in Southern California. That's 2 weeks in. It's a bit of a shock to us, this weather. It's been a bit chilly. And our attire over there was very sort of laid back. Most of the time I go around in bare feet or in flip-flops. And because my feet are sort of spread out a bit, I tend to keep wearing flip-flops. So I had one or two strange looks walking down Chichester, in Chichester, seeing my flip-flops on in this. We will adjust them. I have got my walking shoes on today, so you'll be pleased to see. So we're adjusting. We're adjusting to be back. But it's great to be here, and we're so grateful for God's mercy and kindness. Well, I wanted to share this morning about the awakening to God's glory. Awakening to the glory of God. And I want to talk about seeing more of Jesus and what that the result of that in our lives. So let me just say a prayer, if I may, before we start. Father, we thank you that your heart is for your Son, Jesus, to be exalted. It's that he would be lifted up, his magnificence would be seen, and that our lives would be send a message far and wide to those close to us but those far away, of how great you are and how magnificent you are. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to magnify Jesus, to make him known, to work in our lives, to bring out the life of Jesus that's been planted within us. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your patience with me. You're so patient. And we welcome you here today, Holy Spirit. Would you come and do something deep in our hearts, that we may fall in love with Jesus more, but also we'll be more effective as your ambassadors here on earth. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Well, I want to start with a poem this morning, maybe a little bit different. You may have heard the poem. It's based on the fact that God is weaving a story into all of our lives. And it's his story. History is his story. And our lives are his story. And this poem is called The Weaver. You may have heard, it's quite well known, I think. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colours. He weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. Wonderful, isn't it, that God has called us out to be His ambassadors, to represent Him here on earth, to carry on the mission that Jesus came to complete, a mission of rescuing lost souls, to be with God for eternity. And I love the fact that this life is but a vapor. C.S. Lewis, you know that quote well, I'm sure. This life is but a cover page of a never-ending story. And in this slither of time, the start of eternity, He's called us out to be His representatives, His witnesses. His witnesses to who He is, His witnesses to His glory. Now, when I say glory, what do we mean by God's glory? Well, I like to think of God's glory as being all the excellence and the beauty of Jesus. All of His love, all of His peace, all of His kindness, all of His gentleness. All of those things that reveal the Father we see in Jesus. And that's when we talk about His glory being seen, we're talking about those things being manifest here on earth. Through us. Amazing, isn't it? Through us. Not just to those around us, but to the angelic beings as well. Sometimes we forget that we're witnesses to the angelic beings. And I always think it's amazing. They must look at us and think, goodness me, what is God up to? These weaklings down here. But that's the very point. God chooses the weak things of this world to nullify the things that are. Because then He gets all the glory. Wonderful, isn't it? Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says, God's intent is that now through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God might be seen to the angelic beings in the heavenly realms. So they're watching. And they're seeing the wisdom of God being revealed, which is Jesus, isn't it? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus being revealed in and through us. So it's wonderful and amazing to think that God would do that with us, these beings. But let's face it, all we are is a dust incredibly put together. And here we are carrying the very presence of God. God with us. Incredible. So we give thanks to God. And let's just turn, if you've got your Bibles, you might just turn to Revelation 4, 9 to 11. Talks in, just as you're turning there, talks in Romans 8 verse 29 that God has predestined us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So that's God's goal, working in us to reveal Jesus. So I'm reading from Revelation chapter 4, and I'm just going to read the last few verses here. See, for an awakening to happen, we need to get a revelation of who Jesus is. We need to get an awakening to who Jesus is, understanding a bit more of His glory. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, I pray that His kingdom would come. Your kingdom would come. We say that, don't we, in the Lord? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So what is going on in heaven at the moment? And I love these words here. I'm just going to read from verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, day and night. They never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." So they get it in heaven of how great Jesus is. One of my favorite songs at the moment, you know, you go through seasons of different songs. One of my favorites is a song that you can get on YouTube. And if you look it up, it's called "Is He Worthy?" Is He Worthy? And it's a church that do it, you know, when they bring all the pictures up and they're all singing. And I cry every time I watch it and listen to it. Is He Worthy? And it goes through the state of the world at the moment, how terrible it is. And then it goes on to talk about someone being worthy. to be able to open the scroll and to bring in the purposes and will of God. And of course, it ends up, is he worthy? And they say, he is. He is worthy. You see, they get it in heaven of how much Jesus is so worthy of all praise and glory. I've been thinking just recently about the source of things. The source of things. And you know the story of David Livingstone, where he wanted to find the source of the Nile River. And of course, he spent years trying to find it, because he wanted to know this incredible river. Where did it start? What's the beginning? What's the beginning of this river? And I started to think about this in terms of Jesus being the source of all things good, all things beautiful, all things excellent. He's the source. He's the source of love. He is the source of beauty. He's the source of creation. Jeannie and I, we get more and more enamored as we look out and see the beauty of creation. One of those lovely things are coming back to England now in the spring. What was that, the poem we had? Oh, to be in England, now that April's come. You know that one? And it's so true. We travelled around America and we were there for quite a bit, but you can't beat the English springtime. Nothing compares with it. And so we look out and we see we were just out. We've been doing our isolation. And our garden, we counted the palace garden as our garden. It was just up the road from us, so it counted. It was all right. A beautiful garden there. And we just paused on one of our walks there. There was a red robin. Nothing like an English robin. They have an American robin, but it doesn't compare to the English robin. And there it was on the top of this wall, just singing away. And we just blew our minds. We had such joy in watching that little robin. It's something of the glory of God. It's something of the beauty of creation. We see his beauty in creation. That little bird that can make those incredible sounds. Perfect pitch. You know, birds have perfect pitch. And such a small bird can create such a sound. It all speaks of something of the glory of God. And we look at the magnolia tree and we look at the bluebells and we smell them. All these incredible things. It all speaks of the glory of God. Trees. Amazing that trees, you know, it's after human beings, trees are the most mentioned living things in the Bible. A tree. Beginning of Genesis, start with tree, don't we? We're called trees, you know, Jeremiah 17:7-8. Those who trust in the Lord, he who trusts in the Lord and puts his hope in him will be like a tree planted by the water, sends out its roots by the river. Its leaves will not grow weak, even in the year of drought. They will not fear. Something of trees, we see the glory of God, the beauty of God. And one of the things that's important about seeing God on a wider scale is that it leads to more praise and more worship. And if there's anything that brings about an awakening, praise and worship is one of the most important things. You know in the Bible that praise welcomes in the presence of God. As I was pondering on this, it's interesting to know you're called Kingsgate. I don't know what the history of that word gate, but gate in the Bible beckons in the presence of God. So let's have a quick look in Psalm 24. Let's have a look at this, how praise brings in the presence of God. Psalm 24. So it says in verse 7, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And one of the things I think is so key in bringing in more of the presence of God is praise. As we overflow, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning, I'm talking about all through the week. We're continually praising God. Talks in Hebrews 13 about the fruit of our lips that continually give praise to God. All the time we're praising God. All the time we're thanking God. And we can do it because we see how great he is. We can see, as it says in Acts 17, 28, we live and move and have our being in him. Everything flows from him. A few years ago, 2017, Jeannie and I, and actually Mum went with us as well. I've been studying awakenings. I'm just intrigued to understand about when the presence of God comes. Awakening being different to revival. Revival is when the church is revived. You can't revive something that's never been alive. All right, so people mix up the words. That's okay. But awakening is when the presence of God comes across a whole community. Just like a portal into heaven that comes, opens up the way. Praise makes way for the presence of God. Remember when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and they said, you're to stop your disciples singing. He said, if they don't sing, the stones are going to sing and praise me. Praise makes way for the presence of God. Very important that we're overflowing with thanksgiving and praise and worship all the time. So anyway, we decided to go. I read about the awakening in Lewis, the island of Lewis. It was the last great awakening in the British Isles. And as I read up on it, I was fascinated to hear and read the story. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could go there and find some people who were actually there when it happened? So we arranged to go, and we booked it up and took the ferry across and went to this little place. Lewis itself is completely barren. I mean, it's the last place you'd want to go if you didn't know there was something special going on there. There are hardly any trees there. The ground is very, very acidic. There's not much grows there. That's where God chose to come. And the people were hungry. There was a little church in a place called Barvis. They were very hungry for God. Things were very dire. The young people weren't there going to church anymore. And so they got desperate. And they started to pray. That's the other part of bringing an awakening, is prayer. They started to get desperate with God, and they started to pray for God to come. There were two women there in their 80s. One was blind, and the other was very arthritic. And they were great prayer warriors. I'm sure there's many great prayer warriors here. They were praying and praying, Lord, come. Would you come? Would you visit us again? You've done it before. They had had some awakenings before. Would you come again? Please, Lord. And so they started praying, and they called in this preacher to come and help preach. Well, he arrived. The first night he arrived, he went down to the church in Barvis. We went to this church. It was the Church of Scotland, as it is now. And on this particular night, he preached, and yeah, it was an okay service. And he ended, and then there was a young man who'd been involved in these prayer meetings. And as he was walking out, he shouted out, there's got to be more, God. There's got to be more. He was so desperate for God's presence. And then he collapsed. Part of the signs of that awakening was that people used to just collapse on the floor and almost go into a trance, just the presence of God. And then there was a knock on the door. Someone came running in, and they called to the pastor, and they said, you better come out and see what's going on. He went outside, and there were about 400 people outside the church. And things started to happen all over this little place called Barvis. There was a hall where all the young people, they're having a dance night. And the presence of the Lord came in that hall. And they all left the hall and rushed over to the church. Because you see, when the presence of God comes, people start to see. He brings light. What were they seeing? They were seeing that they weren't right with God. They needed to get right with God. They started getting desperate. They rushed over to this church. So now the guy comes back in. He can't get to the pulpit. The church is so full. He had to push his way up. He gets to the pulpit, and there's one of these teachers, these young people that have been in the dance. And she's crying out, and she's saying, is there mercy for me, Lord? Is there mercy for me? It's the presence of God when he comes. That's what we want today, isn't it? Desperate for the presence of God to come. You see, nothing, you only need a second of God's presence and the whole of Bognor Regis would come to the Lord. You don't need long. Just a little moment of God's presence and the whole place would change. Amazing. So we went to this church and we went in there, and I said to the pastor, I said, is there anyone here that was at that awakening? Oh, he said, yeah. There's three people that were here. One guy was called Albert. Now, if you read about this awakening, there was a young guy called Albert, who was very much involved in the prayer time. I don't know if it was the same guy. It was only later that I put two and two together and realized it could have been the same guy. But he was still alive and he was there. And there was another lady called Nancy. And they very sweet. I've got pictures on my phone. Very sweetly, they talked to us and we could ask questions. And of course, one of the things I asked was, what was it like when the presence of God came? And he said that just the whole atmosphere was just unbelievable. It was like electric. And he talked about the sense of praise that came up from within them. And they used to go from meeting to meeting through the night. You see, when you taste God's presence, you want more, don't you? You want more of God's presence. They were desperate. They would go from meeting to meeting. These are young people. And he said, when they used to go, they used to sing. They used to sing in their little van that they went in. And the music was unbelievable. The praise and the worship that came up. They said, we must have had a few angels with us because it was so incredible, this sound of worship and praise. That's what happens when the presence of God comes. We can start to bring in the presence of God as we're praising him. The fruit of lips that continually praise his name, continually lift up the name of Jesus. We're bringing in heaven down on earth. Amazing. And he said, they went on. So they would, what they would do, the pattern of their lives, that they would go from meeting to meeting. And they go home for about a couple of hours, get some sleep, and then go through a whole day, and then do the same thing again. And he went on from 1949 to 52. Read about it. It's amazing. It stirs your heart as you read it. Incredible. Isn't now another time for a great awakening? Isn't it now that we want to see God coming, his presence? But the truth is, and Gina and I know this so well, that you don't always feel like praising God, do you? If you're honest. No. Especially in these COVID-19 days, when some days are a bit stinky, aren't they? Not so good. Not so good. It's not so easy. And yet I put it to you that that is the very time that we have the greatest opportunity to bring in the presence of God. You see, when praise is a sacrifice, it's particularly sweet to God. In Psalm 50 and verse 23, it says this: "See, those who sacrifice a praise offering honors me and prepares the way that I might show them the salvation of God." Isn't that powerful? Prepares the way. Prepares the way. How does that work? I always think of it like a runway for an aeroplane to come in. And as we praise God, we're preparing the way for his salvation to come into our own situations, but also into the situations around us, into the community, his salvation to come. He who sacrifices a thank offering honors me, prepares the way for his salvation to come. I'm reminded of a time that Jeannie and I was shortly after Rebecca was called home to heaven. And we were so broken. Jeannie had had her encounter with God, and she was completely transformed from that. I won't go into the details now, but we went to this church. Someone invited us to a church. It was a Chicago Tabernacle that was a sister church to the Brooklyn Tabernacle, if you've heard of that church. It's an amazing church. If you're ever in New York, go there. It's so, so beautiful. The worship and the praise is incredible. Well, this is the sister church in Chicago. And we went that morning. And the pastor's wife stood up and said, I've got a testimony. She said, I want to speak about my daughter. She said she was a wayward child and went away from God. But she's just come back to God and she's got married to a lovely Christian guy. And they've just had their first child. And I want us to stand up and say, "Great is thy faithfulness." Sing that song. Now, Jeannie and I looked at each other and it wasn't easy that morning. But we stood up by God's grace and with tears pouring down our face, both of our faces, we were able to sing. And God saw those praises that morning. Sometimes it's not easy, is it, to praise God? But those are the sweetest times. In those gates around Jerusalem, we read in Revelation there, Revelation 20:21, the 12 gates, and they're each made out of, you know what it is? Pearl. You know how a pearl is made? Not easy for that oyster, is it? But a grit gets in there. I get that oyster said, oh, I wish that grit wasn't here. I wish that pain wasn't here. That suffering wasn't here. Yet that oyster's able to turn it around for something beautiful. And that's what God does in our lives for those things which hurt the most. By his grace. And at the end of the day, our great testimony is a testimony to God's grace. For all of us, isn't it? It's only by his grace that we're here this morning. It's only by God's grace that anyone exists. That the theologians call it general grace. The very atoms of our body are held together by his power. And when you ponder on creation, you realize how amazing it is. Such grace. Such grace. I show my age now. When I was 50 years or so ago at school, our understanding at the time for a single cell was a membrane. Do some of you remember that? Membrane. At that stage, I think all you had was a proton and maybe one other thing they thought was in a single cell. Do you remember that? That was all they understood at that time. And now with nanotechnology, which goes really finely detailed, we know that that's actually millions of different parts within a single cell. Just one cell, and there's trillions of cells in our body. And that one cell, all of those parts have to work in unison for it to work. Unbelievable. He holds everything together by the power of his word. So when we realize how amazing our God is and how he's putting it together, what speaks to me is of God's mercy. That God is holding all this together, and yet how many people say thank you to him? How many people acknowledge his name? And yet he gives us another day for salvation. Amazing. So when we realize that, we see his glory and we see it in creation, we marvel. And so sometimes when it's hard to thank God and praise God, we realize it's his grace that gets us through. Praise God for his amazing grace. Grace is, well, you know what it is. Mercy is not giving us what we need. Grace is giving what we don't deserve. It comes to us, and it's the very life of Jesus. John 16:14, Jesus said, he will take from what is mine, and he'll make it known to you. But what's he talking about? He's talking about his life. My body, which is broken for you. My victorious life that triumphed over everything that the world could throw at me. Everything that Satan could throw at me. Everything that's around. That's my life I'm giving to you, and I'll make it known to you by my Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So he takes that life and he makes it known to us. I remember the time in my darkest time. It was after Alex, our youngest son, went home to heaven. And I was struggling. It was very hard and I was very broken. And the Lord gave me three epiphanies in that time that saw me through. One of the epiphanies was of eternity. We were talking about that earlier on. Now, we all know heaven. We all know we're going to heaven, don't we? If you're a believer of Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you're listening in, then I encourage you today. No coincidence that you're listening in. It's a day for you to receive Jesus and to receive all that he's done on the cross for you, his blood shed to forgive your sins. You can receive him and ask him to come into your heart and to be your Savior and your Lord. And you can be with him for eternity. So those of us who have done that, we know our security is secure, isn't it? We know our future is secure. Praise God. But when you start to see it, I started to see it at another level. I started to see how very clearly this life is such a vapor. And it's so short. And when you see eternity, it flips everything. Now you start to understand when Jesus said, whatever you give up here, whatever you're willing to lay your life down here, you'll receive 100-fold back. So one of the things I used to say to Jeannie, she was totally broken at this time. Her mother's heart shattered. Our marriage was hanging on by a thread. And I'd say, look, we're going to see Alex again, and our relationship with him will be that much greater through eternity, because God's asked us to be humble and to allow this brokenness in our lives for a reason, to be able to share his truth and his grace with other people. So I saw eternity, and it helped me. So much it helped me. The other thing I saw was grace. I saw God's grace at another level. I saw how much his grace comes to us every single day in such a detail. Whether it's strength or wisdom or finances or whatever it is. It's all God's grace coming to us. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. And at a particular time, I was trying to love Jeannie. She, the horrible thing was suicide, which is what happened with Alex, is blame. So you're not only grieving the individual, especially for a child, but blame. Why didn't you do anything about this? Why didn't you see it coming? And of course, with hindsight, you would have stopped it, wouldn't you? And Jeannie was locked into that cycle, and she lost her faith for a couple of years. She hated herself. She hated me. She hated God, and then she lost her faith for 2 years. Well, I knew God wanted me to keep loving Jeannie and to love her through it. She was in darkness, and one of the things of love, if you're loving your relatives, by the way, your love brings light. You know that. It's a spiritual light, and that light enables them to see and change. So keep loving them, even though it's hard. Your love will be light to them. So as I was loving her, I remember two times in particular, I just said, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm too broken. And it's too painful. And I'm empty. My tank is empty. And I'd pour out every day, get to the end of the day, and I would just be empty like this. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I know you want me to. There was no question. I know you want me to. And therefore, I need more grace. I need more love. Well, Romans 5:5, you know what it says there. God pours out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And as I wept there, his love was poured in again. I went to bed that night, I got up in the morning, and I had more love for Jeannie. The love kept on flowing. You see, it's a never-ending flow. That's God's grace. What is it you need this morning? Maybe it's for a family member. Maybe it's for more perseverance in prayer. Maybe it's for more wisdom, more strength, more peace. Maybe you're getting a bit anxious. Maybe it's more peace. It all comes by God's grace, amazingly. So we start to see that God is over all things and he's working for his glory and for his purposes. Psalm 139 verse 16 means a lot to us. It says, you knew me in my mother's womb. Every day of my life was written in your book before one of them came to be. Does that blow your mind? God knows every detail of our lives. He loves us so desperately. He's all powerful. Is he going to allow anything to happen in our lives outside of his perfect will? Of course he won't. And when you know God's in it, God's working in it, it makes all the difference. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So Lord, okay, have your way. And that's, remember the prayer of Mary, be unto me according to your will. And that's what Jeannie and I are in that place now, just unto your will, Lord, be it unto us. So I want to just close with a last thing of a bit of our story, which I don't think you've heard of as yet. This has happened over the last 2 years. See, all of it is so that we can say to people, hey, we know someone who can help you. And through Awakening to God Ministries, we're reaching now online, literally millions of people. We reached 42 million people last year online. And people are being helped, people are coming to know the Lord. It's a wonderful thing that's going on. And our message is a simple message. It's that we know someone. His name's Jesus. And his grace, his life, made known to us by the Holy Spirit. If he can rescue us in our life, he can rescue you in yours. He can bring peace to you in yours. And he can strengthen you whatever you're going through. Well, let me just give you the last 2 years of what's been happening with us. So we've been through a lot, obviously, with Rebecca and Alex going home early. And we thought that would be the end of our trials. But as I think they say, like London buses, trials come in groups, you know, and it's not, and you think you're at the end and you know you're not. There's more. God's got another chapter to write. And maybe there's some people here thinking, goodness me, I'm going through another trial now. There's another hardship I'm going through. God's in it. God's with you. God will give you the strength. He'll give you the wisdom to know what to do. And you just need to relax in his arms. Know that you're desperately loved by God. The last epiphany, I'll just share with you, to give you a bit of context of what I just said. As I used to go down in the middle of the night, and I used to weep until I had no more tears to weep. And one particular night I was there, and as I was weeping, I was, you know, you're really sobbing from the bottom of your belly. I was sobbing. I felt an arm around me. And it was so real that I looked up to see who was there. And there was no one physically there. But I realized actually Jesus was there. There by his spirit, so to speak. And he had his arm around me. But the thing that particularly spoke to my heart was that he was sobbing with me. He was weeping with me. And the epiphany I got was how much God suffers with those who are suffering. How his heart breaks for all the suffering in the world. And you might be thinking, common question that people ask. In fact, it's the main reason that people don't come to faith in Christ. Main reason people lose their faith. Well, hang on, if he's a God of love, why does he allow the suffering? Why has he allowed this to happen to us? You know me, Lord. That's one of the things that Jeannie struggled with. We've been serving him for 24 years, and yet this has happened. Come on, God, what are you doing? By the way, it's okay to offload it to God. He's big enough to take that. Offload your anger and your pain. You look at the psalmist, David did it all the time. He did come back to the truth of who God was. And at the end of the day, when Job went through so much and he was struggling, he asked questions of God. God never answered any of his questions. All he did was said, take a look at this glory. Take a look at my sovereignty. Take a look at who I am. And then Job says at the end, isn't he? Okay, now I've heard about you. Now I've seen you. Okay, I get it. He's over every detail. Every detail, he's working it through for his glory. He's weaving those beautiful threads in a wonderful way. And God just wants us to be able to hold on to his promises, hold on through faith. Well, so 2019, we found that the trials were not over. Are we right for time, by the way? Are we? Okay. The trials were not over. And we had some savings in our home in Chicago. And the plan was to sell the house and be able to get the savings out, whatever we want to go. And I had some savings with a friend who had investment properties on the west side of Chicago. Well, first thing was that the house prices started to plummet in Chicago. All of our savings was lost, just like that. The guy who I put some investments with, he got into difficulty. I was suddenly told that the Security Exchange Control were investigating him. The next thing I heard was that all the assets were frozen. So suddenly all those funds there, that was frozen as well. We were penniless. We had nothing. So now we go to the 26th of October, 2019. And I've been getting a few little pains in my chest. You know, I cycle, I fit. It's tennis and, you know, doing lots of stuff. Get to the top of a hill and I felt a little bit of pain. And, oh, it must be something in my lungs. Didn't think it was in the heart. Something in the lungs. And Jeannie was, as she more intuitive than me, I think you better get this checked. Typical guy, no, I'll be fine. You know, you press on, I'll be fine. 26th of October, I felt this pain that morning. I think I was going to a prayer meeting, actually. Came home, told Jeannie, and she said, well, go down and get that checked. So I went down to the doctor's office and got an EKG done. You're fine. Off you go. Well, that night, I'd agreed to go to a friend's house to watch the semi-final of the Rugby World Cup. I love rugby. I love watching England play. And they were playing the All Blacks in the semi-final. Some of you may remember it. And I went to, my friends were South Africans, and we loved to watch rugby together. And so I went, it was 1 a.m. in the morning. Now, I would normally never be out of the house in the middle of the night. No way. I got up that night, and Jeannie told me that as I was leaving, I said very strange words. I just said, we're in God's hands. And it sort of hung in the air. Jeannie responded, and she said, yeah, we are in God's hands. Not really, why am I saying that? So I go to the house, settle down. Within 2 minutes, if any of you remember the game, England scored a try. And my friends all look round to me to see what's going on. What am I doing? They expected me to be all over the room shouting and screaming. Nothing. They thought I was having a seizure. And then one of the guys prayed for me. Another guy rang 911, 999 in the States, 911. Said, oh, this guy's having a seizure. Can you get here? Well, seizure is not the top of they call them first responders in the States. Not the top, not the highest priority. And then one of the guys, young guys, decided to Google my symptoms. And he discovered that I was having a cardiac arrest. And so he said, that's not a seizure, that's a cardiac arrest. And so with that, One of the other guys, who's like a spiritual son to me, he sort of got a download from God that they needed to get me on the ground really quickly and start pumping my heart. He'd never done CPR in his life before. Got me on the ground and started pumping. Felt for a pulse, nothing. Breathing, nothing. They called upstairs the wife of the guys whose house I was in, used to be a nurse. She comes down, feels my pulse, and she said, "I'm sorry, he's gone. Died." Now, the statistics in the States, 395,000 people die of cardiac arrest every year. Cardiac arrest is different to heart attack. Heart attack is when something of the heart starts misbehaving and you feel pain and weak and everything else. Cardiac arrest is when the heart stops. Boom. Nothing. So they rang up 911 again. So, "Sorry, this is not a seizure. This is a cardiac arrest. Top priority." So they come round within 10 minutes. They're there. Say to my friend, who's now exhausted from doing CPR on me, and say, "Any of you done CPR? It's pretty hard work, I understand." They say, "Oh, keep going, can you, while we get our equipment out." So he keeps going. They take over, and they start pumping my heart. They start doing electric shocks on my heart. 6 or 7 electric shocks, and they say, "He's gone." Of the 395,000 people who have cardiac arrest in America, only 6% of those outside of a hospital will survive. 6%, 6 out of 100 will survive. So they say, "No, it's not." And that my friends, these young lads, said, "No, please." One of them had cried out to God, said, "God, if you save Gerald, I'd do anything you want, anything you want." So now they're saying, "Please don't stop, keep going." They put another electric shock on my heart, and they found a pulse. And my heart starts beating again. They take me into the hospital. Jeannie, I'm totally unaware of what's going on. She comes over. Amazing friends look after. They're praying through the night for me. I'm not through it yet, because with no oxygen getting to your brain, you have terrible brain damage, kidney failure. All your organs will fail. So amazingly, our bodies are put together. So I now go down to the MRI, and the doctor comes rushing out and says, "It's a miracle, it's a miracle. He's got no brain damage." Amazing. So now I'm in coming out of that. So there's the mirror, and all the medics, the first responders. Amazing. It took me a bit of time to come around. I don't remember anything about it, by the way. In case you want to ask me, I didn't have a tour of heaven or anything like those things. I was just I woke up and there I was. And of course, I'm asking the big question: why? Why am I still here? Why did you allow me to live, God, and live without brain damage? And of course it is, because we have a story. All of us have a story to tell. I think it was Whitfield who said, "Until your work on earth is finished, you're immortal." We're here, each one of us, for a specific work. The first thing is the great command is to love. We're all called to love. We're all called to tell other people a great commission. But the other thing is that we've all got a specific work here on earth. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's someone you're going to bump into when you go out from church from here. We're here for a reason that only we can fulfill. Jesus said in John 17, verse 4, "I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." So we've all got this specific work to do. So just moving on. So then I'm coming through, going through rehab, exercise. On the way in, this is where I know that Satan's trying to get on the back of it. I'm getting bothered by a debt collector, because we're falling behind. We have got no finances, and we're falling behind. I never missed a mortgage payment in my life. I missed 2 mortgage payments, and they're chasing me. So I'm going into heart rehab, where I'm meant to keep calm. All right, keep yourself calm. And this guy's on the phone to me saying, "Where's this money? We're going to foreclose your house and everything else." Unbelievable. I had to laugh in the face of that, because I knew who was behind it. See, Satan tries to get on the back of it. God turns it around for good, though. Well, 6 weeks after that, we had more bad news, because Jeannie was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And so we've been journeying through that. At the moment, praise God, as far as we know, she's clear. She's had multiple tumors removed this last year or so, again and again. With all of it, we have to come back to God and say, "God, your grace, for all of us, isn't it? Your grace, help us, Lord. Come back to that throne of grace." Hebrews 4, verse 16, one of my favorite verses. we boldly go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, I've probably gone on way too long. I didn't check the time. I'm so sorry. But living hope, that's what we've got. I appreciate if you could support us with this book. We're hoping it's going to get out there. There's people who want to make a film of our story, but they want to see how the book goes. So no pressure. we want to get to be Amazon bestseller if we can. And we're just asking people to buy it. Please review it and do the review on Amazon. The reviews help to get the book out. So we'd appreciate you doing that. It just gives us a bigger platform to tell people about Jesus. That's all it's about. Telling people about Jesus. That's why we're here. Finish this work he's given us. Well, I'll close with a prayer, can I? There were three words the Lord gave me before I came out today. Three words of knowledge for people who've got some pain. Someone I felt had some pain, maybe here, maybe it's online. So you're having some pain in your shoulders, a bit of a pinched nerve, and it's caused you having headaches. So if there's anyone here, I can pray for you later on. Another person's been having some trouble with their eyes that God wants to heal today. And another person's been having trouble with the stomach as well. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but those are the three things that God laid on my heart for you this morning. So does anyone want to put your hand up? Okay, bless you for that. Anyone else want to? What's that? And shoulder. Okay, wow, amazing. Stomach's okay, is it? Yeah. Okay, good. All right, and anyone else? Maybe it could be online. Stomach. Okay, good. All right, well, it's good to acknowledge. When God gives a word, it's good to acknowledge it, so just to receive it. So, Father, we just thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your grace this morning for us, for each one of us. Thank you that you come by your Holy Spirit to make the life of Jesus known to us. And known in a real way, a practical way. Lord, not just in head knowledge, but firsthand, because we go through it and we experience it. And so we can be a better witness for other people. Lord, we just pray you give us courage. Courage to go and follow the path that you've called each one of us to do, Lord. Give us that courage, Lord, that your name will be lifted up. Our mouths will be overflowing with thanksgiving on the dark days, but also on the light days as well. These threads that you're sowing into our lives, Lord, let us be willing servants of you, Lord, willing friends of you to see your glory come. Lord, we love you and we bless you. And Lord, I want to just acknowledge the healing for those who have just received it now, for those words you gave me this morning. Your healing power, we just receive it. And we speak it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.